This is the BBC.
You're listening to The Archers Omnibus from BBC Radio 4.
And that was because Justin had put the word out to everyone he knows, suggesting they stay away.
Really?
I didn't know anything about it at the time.
So, this business of Matt's, it's not a good investment?
Well, it's not Matt's business. He's just an employee.
But it's all above board.
Well, as far as I know. It's simply that Justin was furious with Matt and wanted to wreck his big day.
Well, good for him.
You think so?
Yeah, don't you?
Yes, I suppose.
After what Matt did to you, I should have thought you'd be delighted having Justin fighting your corner for you.
But this is nothing to do with me, Jenny. It's between Matt and Justin.
Oh, and that's got nothing to do with you?
No.
He gave you that puppy.
Well, because he knew it would annoy Justin. I'm simply caught in the crossfire between these two big male egos out to prove who's top dog. And the answer is always going to be Justin.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
Well, yes, except...
Except what? Surely you'd be glad to see the back of Matt.
Justin can be extremely ruthless.
So?
I saw what he was like over the divorce settlement.
Well, if it gets Matt out of your hair.
It's just that things seem to be getting a bit, I don't know, out of control.
Afternoon.
Oh, hello, darling.
Oh, hi, Alice. What have you done with Chris?
He's playing cricket.
Well, not till this afternoon, surely.
It's his turn to roll the pitch or whatever.
Oh. Hope he had a good breakfast.
Oh, yes, don't worry. We were really late getting up this morning, so I did him a full English and then drove him up to the cricket ground.
Mm.
Have you heard what happened at Grange Farm on Friday?
No, what?
Grange Farm?
Yeah, I saw Fallon at the cricket ground. Mm-hmm. Her and Emma are doing the teas and she was dropping off some stuff. But anyway, turns out the Grundys never asked Oliver and Caroline if it was OK for them to do B&B at Grange Farm.
They never got permission.
Well, Eddie said he had, but apparently it was a lie.
Oh.
So poor Oliver arrives back from Italy on Friday, goes round to Grange Farm, no sign of any Grundys, but there's this bunch of total strangers drinking tea in his sitting room.
Oh, no!
How dreadful, poor Oliver.
And then he completely lost the plot.
What do you mean?
Well, apparently he charged around smashing up the place.
What? Oliver? Really?
That's what I heard.
What's she doing?
It's probably a butterfly. She gets very excited by butterflies.
She's a comical little thing.
Isn't she just?
Good thing Rory's not here. He'd be pestering me to get him one.
Well, where is he?
He's staying the weekend with a friend from school. So it was you, was it? Ruined Matt's big day.
Oh, come on, Brown. Don't tell me you wouldn't have done the same thing.
Oh, I'm not criticising you.
I mean, buying Lily and this puppy, what did he expect me to do? Take it lying down? And he's still at it. Just the other day, he posted some spurious objection to the pig unit on the council website.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
Well, I'm not going to sit around waiting for the next act of provocation. So that is it.
Well, what are you going to do?
Get him fired.
You can do that, can you?
Oh, yes, no problem. As you know, I've got contracts with Hugo Melling's outfit.
You're not worried you might provoke him into, I don't know, some kind of revenge attack?
No, he can't touch me.
So why bother? Wouldn't it be a better idea just to ignore him?
No. You think I should go easy on him?
No. That's not what I'm saying.
After what he did to Lillian?
Well, yeah.
Now, if I'm honest, that is my principal motivation. I mean, you're right. I could shrug off whatever little darts he aims in my direction. But he took Lillian for everything she had.
He did.
Left her pretty much destitute. And in my book, that is unforgivable. He should be locked up.
Well, if there was any justice...
No, so I want him gone, Brian. I want him on the first plane back to Costa Rica.
Make sure you've closed the gate, Adam.
It's okay. Done it.
And you're a puppy. Yes, you are.
We've got a rather nice shabby on the go here.
Sorry, Ruby, I hear a glass of wine calling.
How are you, Adam?
Oh, okay.
Well, you don't sound very okay.
I've had a very frustrating morning.
What, with the pickers?
No. The soft fruit's going all right. I'm just missing two drivers for tomorrow.
For the harvest?
Yeah. Oh, well, that really hits the spot.
But what's the problem?
Well, you know, Jeff's done his back in again.
He's still out of it, is he?
And now Josh, who was supposed to be grain hauling for me tomorrow, has found something he'd rather do.
That's rather irresponsible.
Something to do with his machinery business. He was very apologetic.
Short notice, though, isn't it?
Have you tried Ed Grundy?
Yeah, and Eddie, Neil, everyone else I could think of. How are you fixed for tomorrow?
Me? Oh, no, no. I think my grain hauling days are over.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, I've got a meeting in Felpersham.
How about you, Justin?
Oh, no one in their right mind would let me loose in a tractor.
Thanks, Shula. And do let me know if there's anything I can do. Right, yeah. Bye.
What did she say?
You weren't quite right about what happened.
Oh.
No, I think you were a victim of the gossip machine.
Oh. And how is Oliver?
Mortified, apparently. Aww. Embarrassed about having lost his temper like that. Well,
perfectly justified, I should say.
Yeah, said he really doesn't have a problem with the Grundys doing B&B. It was just the shock of finding strangers in his house. Mm. And he didn't smash the place up. He just smashed a jug which was already broken.
Oh.
Now it is time that this meat came out.
Oh, that smells yummy.
So what's happening about the funeral?
Well, it's not a funeral. It's a memorial service.
But not a church thing?
No. No, they felt that that might be inappropriate.
So why is it called a service?
All right, a ceremony then. Anyway, it's at Grey Gables, but they can't have the big room where Caroline and Oliver have their wedding reception. That's booked for a conference.
Well, Caroline would have booted them out.
Mm. Yes, she probably would. But they're important clients, and I gather that Kathy feels...
I mean, Caroline owned the place, for heaven's sake.
Well, anyway, that's what's been decided. And Alan is going to conduct the service.
Oh, and he's not inappropriate?
Evidently not. Alice, could you lay the table for me?
Yes, sure.
I need another drink.
Look, why don't you take that other bottle of Chablis and go and join the men on the terrace?
Oh, good idea.
And tell them that lunch will be ready in about 15 minutes.
OK.
What's up with Auntie Lillian?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose it's just talking about poor Caroline.
Oh, yes. It's awful.
Mm. We're all upset. And it does rather pull you up short when somebody younger than you dies.
I'll pop over and see Jeff this afternoon, see if he can drag himself off his couch for a couple of hours.
Oh, poor man.
And I'll have to do the rest. Leave the fruit pickers to their own devices.
Well, are you really that desperate?
I've literally tried everyone else.
You haven't tried me.
What?
Now, pass that to Justin, will you, Alice?
Oh, there you go.
Oh, that looks lovely. Can't beat a bit of roast lamb.
And help yourself to veg. I'm off work for the next 2 days.
Oh.
Time off in lieu.
Oh.
I went right through last weekend, so I don't mind pitching in, doing a bit of grain hauling for you.
Really?
Would I lie to you?
Oh, Alice, you're a star.
Twinkle, twinkle. Have you tried Pip?
No.
How's that for you, Anna?
Oh, lovely, thanks.
Well, she's always up for earning a bit of extra dosh at the moment.
Could you pass the mange too, Lillian?
What? She's even spending her weekends doing relief milking.
Mange too?
There.
Well...
Sorry.
And, well, do start, Justin.
Oh, thank you.
Pip's not exactly my favourite person at the moment.
Oh, come on, Adam. It's water under the bridge.
What?
The whole IBR thing.
No, it's not that.
Anyway, didn't you say you were going to use Josh? Just as much implicated.
Yeah, nothing to do with the IBR.
So what's your problem?
Oh, she let me down really badly over the herbal lays.
Mm. Well, haven't you got Ed doing that?
Mm. But Pip was supposed to be a partner in the project, and she... backed out with no notice and absolutely no explanation. Completely dropped me in it.
And you're going to harbour a grudge forever, are you?
No, of course not. It's just... well, she probably won't be free anyway.
Well, I'll text her.
Oh, no phones at the table, Alice.
Oh, come on, Mum. This is an emergency.
This lamb is absolutely divine, Jennifer.
Oh, good.
Just melts in the mouth.
Long, slow cooking, that's the secret.
Talking of good food... are you still up for this gala opening of Les Soeurs Heureuses, Brian?
Yes, of course.
Ian doesn't think much of Miriam Duxford.
Huh?
Why ever not?
It's the way she runs her kitchen.
Oh, her food is absolutely yummy.
Very wasteful, apparently.
Oh, please, darling, I've had enough of that from Jill.
Talking of Jill, I was collared by her yesterday and accused of despoiling the Borsetshire countryside.
Let me guess, the housing development.
We haven't even applied for planning yet. The application's due to go in this week.
She's getting very militant in her old age, isn't she?
She always was.
Mm. Remember the Save campaign against Root B?
Oh, how could I forget it?
She's ready to lie down in front of the bulldozers.
And she's against hunting.
What? Against hunting?
And culling badgers.
How can she have lived in the countryside all these years and oppose hunting? Dear, Ruby's woken up.
Oh, let me take her. Oh, come on, Ruby. Oh, come and sit on my lap.
Oh, you hungry?
Oh, Alice.
Oh, it's only a little scrap of meat.
Well, if you feed her at the table, she'll come to expect it.
That's right.
Proper doggy training starts in earnest tomorrow.
Oh, she is so gorgeous.
Mm. Not the sort of dog you'd expect Matt Crawford to go for.
No, if he was a dog, he'd be one of those American pit bulls with a squashed face and little bandy legs.
Justin! There's no need to be quite so unpleasant.
Oh, it's all right, Ruby. It's only my phone. Ah, you can relax, Adam. Pitt would love to come and help with the harvest tomorrow.
Are you all right, darling?
Yeah, fine.
You were very quiet over lunch.
Tired, that's all. Mm. I shall have a siesta when we get home.
Well, that sounds like an excellent plan.
It's not really a good idea to drink so much at lunchtime.
So, you're not cross with me?
I'm very pleased you like Ruby.
Darling, I love her as much as you do. She's a sweetheart.
Oh, no, Ruby.
Even if she does try and tangle us up in her
need. Come along, we're going this way. Come on, there's a good girl.
Oh, I'll just be glad when we can forget once and for all how we came by her. And, I was talking to Brian about the Matt problem. How he's always sticking his head over the parapet going, here I am, look at me. And how damned annoying it is.
Can't you just ignore him?
Well, if he would ignore me, yes. But it seems to be his mission in life to provoke me. I'm not going to stand for it, Lillian.
No, and you shouldn't have to.
So, the sooner I can get rid of him, the better. Brian agreed with me. Get him fired, get him out of the country and out of our hair.
It's just...
What?
Well, he is trying to rebuild his life.
Okay, but why can't he go and do it elsewhere?
And he won't
choosing to do it in Ambridge is just plain offensive.
He won't be in a position to pay me back what he owes if he's unemployed in Costa Rica.
Well...
And he does seem to be trying to do that.
You really don't need that money, though, do you?
No, I suppose not.
Now you've got me.
Yeah.
So, isn't it worth letting it go? Just so we can get the wretched man out of our lives once and for all.
And we are truly sorry that you had to find out the way you did.
Yeah, that's very good.
Being able to stay at Grange Farm has kept our family from going under. Words cannot express how sincerely grateful we are to you and to Caroline, who we miss very much. Mm. And I've signed it, but then underneath I've written, on behalf of the Grundy family.
Yeah, that's great, Mum.
Is it all right?
Yeah, it's a really good letter.
I must have torn it up and rewritten it a dozen times.
Do you want me to drop it round the stables?
No, you best get off to work. I'll do it later.
I'm glad you were here to do that.
Oh, it's not difficult.
You do it every day. I'd probably have accelerated backwards and demolished the trailer.
Yeah, I remember what you did to the no-till drill.
I'm trying very hard to forget that.
Sorry.
Well, at least the weather is being kind.
Yeah, it's glorious, isn't it?
Mm.
Look, thank you so much, Alice, for putting this my way.
Oh, glad you could come to the rescue. Adam was at his wit's end. Every spare tractor driver in the county is already out on harvest duty.
And I gather my scabby brother let him down?
Afraid so.
Oh, as usual. But for once, I'm grateful to him. And it's a perfect summer day for bringing in the grain harvest.
Right, that's the trailer attached. Now, apparently we have to tip the grain in the old beef shed.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, because the dryer can't cope with the volume of grain coming in. Although you wouldn't think it would need much drying in this weather, would you?
Oh, it's been a lovely weekend. Mm. Oh, how did the cricket go yesterday?
We smashed it.
Oh, good. Who were we playing?
Netherbourne, who weren't bad, actually. But our team, well, everyone's really got behind Harrison now. Even Will. And it's finally starting to pay off.
And did our women shine?
Anisha did. She took 3 wickets.
Oh, wow.
Oh, talking of Anisha, she's obviously taken my advice.
What advice?
Her and Rex. I told her last week she should get on with it, and she obviously has. I mean, you can tell, can't you, when people have just rolled out of bed together. So obvious.
I really wouldn't have thought she was Rex's type.
Well, he clearly thinks she is. Had some difficulty keeping his hands off her. Oh, and apparently in the changing room. You know, they've only got this flimsy partition dividing the men from the women. Well, Chris said they could hear Tracy Horribin giving Anisha the third degree about how Rex was in the sack.
Oh, no. Oh, poor Rex. Anyway, I'd better get out to the field, hadn't I?
Oh, see you later.
Lillian, to what do I owe the pleasure?
Pleasure has nothing to do with it.
Does your Mr. Elliot know you're here?
He's in London today.
And while the cat's away, eh?
Are you all right? You look terrible.
Yeah, I've been pining for you, haven't I, Puska?
Oh, seriously?
I'm perfectly serious.
Come on, Matt. Not because you haven't slept for a week.
Yeah, well, got a lot on my mind, haven't I? You know your precious fiancé scuppered my investors meeting last week.
Yes.
I don't know what he told his mates, but they stayed away in their droves.
I heard about that.
Oh, he fessed up, did he?
You do understand why he did it, don't you?
All I understand, Lillian, is he's thrown an almighty spanner in the works and I'm considerably out of favour with Hugo Millie.
Well, it's your own fault. You would go and stick your oar into that deal he had with Tony.
Well, all I did was offer a little friendly advice to your nephew. Not my fault he made a pig's ear of things.
And then there was the puppy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where is my little Ruby? What have you done with her?
She's not your little Ruby. I've left her with Jenny. She's not exactly house-trained yet, and I don't think they'd thank me for letting her loose on Grey Gable soft furnishings.
So, messing with my investor's day was revenge for me buying you a birthday present?
And then there was your comment on the planning application for the pig unit.
Oh, he's not holding that against me, surely.
You did it to annoy him, didn't you?
Excuse me, planning applications are published online so that members of the public can have their say.
Oh, don't play the innocent with me.
I'm a member of the public, aren't I?
It was a deliberate provocation and you know it. And the result is that Justin is going to make damn sure you lose your job.
Is Oliver home?
Oh, afraid not, Clary. He borrowed one of the horses and went out for a hack.
Oh. Well, that might be a good thing. Not sure I'm quite ready to face him. You heard what happened on Friday when he came round Grange Farm.
I know he was rather badly upset.
Oh, it was awful, Shula. But we've written him this letter, see, to say how sorry we all are. Could you give it to him, do you think?
Oh, yes, of course.
Oliver didn't know about the B&B, see. Eddie lied to me. He lied to us all. Said he'd asked permission and he hadn't. I mean, I had my suspicions, but, you know, I put them to the back of my mind. We're all to blame.
Oh, Clary.
So Oliver had every right to, you know. Anyway, how are things coming along for the memorial?
Well, we're getting there. You know where you are with church funerals, but this...
Oh, so it's not going to be in the church?
No, Caroline wasn't at all religious, but Alan's still going to conduct the ceremony.
They're back from their holiday, are they? Him and Usha?
Yes, they were only away for a few days down in Cornwall. So the memorial's going to be at Grey Gables, which is not ideal. But,
isn't it?
Well, it's got a rather corporate feel to it. Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine once we've done the flowers and everything.
Grange Farm would be better, wouldn't it?
Well, yes, but that's not practical, is it, with all of you living there?
But would Oliver like it, do you think?
I'm sure he would.
Maybe that's what he wanted to ask when he come round.
But I really don't see how you could possibly...
Yeah, but if we could, he'd forgive us then, wouldn't he? For last week.
Oh, I'm sure he's forgiven you already.
We could have it in the garden, with the weather like it is. If we tidy it up, we could borrow the chairs from the village hall.
It would be lovely.
Right, then. That's what we'll do.
Are you sure, Clary?
Absolutely.
It's a heck of a lot of work.
If it's what Oliver would like.
All right. I'll ask him as soon as he gets back.
Why, Matt? Why do you keep on doing this? Kicking the hornet's nest when you know perfectly well you're the one who's going to get stung.
A bit of a lifetime, Lillian, you should know.
But you're out of your league with Justin.
Yeah, so you keep telling me.
He's made up his mind that you're going to lose your job.
If I haven't lost it already.
And he will make sure it happens.
So, that's it then.
I just don't understand you. Why do you persist in making trouble for yourself? Just when you're starting to get your life back on track.
I do it for you. Come on. No, I mean it. I just can't deal with it. Seeing you with him reminds me of what we used to have.
Well, then, the sooner you finish your business here and get out, the better.
I know there's not a cat in hell's chance if you ever take me back, but honestly, Pussycat, you are way too good for Justin Elliot.
How can you... Look, you know nothing about... I shouldn't even be here. Justin would be furious if he knew. But I came to do you a favour, to warn you where your troublemaking is
leading. Well, thanks very
much. And to advise you to
apologise. Sorry?
To Justin. It's your only hope.
And these look like smoked salmon and cream cheese.
Oh, wow, your mum lays on a very superior lunch.
Help yourself.
Mm. Well, this is when you remember why you love being a farmer.
It's not all sitting in the sunshine eating smoked salmon sandwiches.
No, it's not just the lunch. Look, I've so enjoyed this morning. Window down in the tractor cab and there's a gentle breeze blowing through and bringing in the harvest.
It beats sitting behind a desk.
Yeah. Yeah, and it gives me an excuse not to join Gran's protest tomorrow.
What's she protesting about? Oh, well, don't tell me this housing development at Bridge Farm.
No, not that. Although she's pretty unhappy about it.
Oh, what then?
Well, this new restaurant that's opening in Borchester.
Oh, yeah, of course. My dad was going on about that yesterday. How your Gran's been giving him a hard time.
Well, unfortunately, it's on the site where they had the Happy Friends Cafe, which she'd just got involved with.
But that was just a pop-up, wasn't it? I was always going to have to move on.
Well, it's the principle of the thing, though, isn't it? I mean, Happy Friends is all about not wasting food and making nutritious meals out of what the supermarkets chuck out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
this new restaurant is going to be serving foie gras and caviar to rich people who already have half a dozen gourmet restaurants to choose from and throwing away most of every vegetable they serve, according to Grant.
Isn't it that woman who runs La Femme du Monde?
Yeah, Miriam Duxford, yeah.
Yeah, and her sister.
Oh, that's another thing.
Chris took me there for my birthday. It was utterly divine.
No, according to Ian, Lulu Duxford is a bully. She's really horrible to her kitchen staff.
Really?
Yes, so Ian says, and he should know.
Right. Hmm? I can never understand why anyone wants to be a chef. The pay's lousy and the hours are appalling.
And you never get to see daylight.
Well, I guess when you get to the top, when you're like Lulu Duxford, the rewards must be pretty good.
Well, anyway... My gran thinks it's massively unfair that they're turfing out a charitable enterprise.
Oh, they're not turfing anyone out.
No, I know, but well, you can see the irony between people who can't afford to feed their families and so much good food just going to waste. And it's the waste they're protesting about.
So your gran is going to be sitting down in the road, is she, singing We Shall Overcome?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, good luck to her. Borchester won't know what's hit it.
So I was up there, moving the cattle, and this rider comes by. It turns out it's Oliver.
Oh, Edward. What did he say?
Well, he started asking me all these questions about the herbal lays. You know, how many cattle, how often do we move them, all that sort of stuff.
Had he got my letter?
No, I don't think so. It was quite early this morning, but I did say, you know, how sorry we were about what happened on Friday. And he started apologising to me. It was a bit embarrassing, really.
What's he got to apologise for?
For losing his temper.
Oh, bless him, he had every right.
And then he started going on about how kind folks were and how many people had called round over the weekend. And he said, I know I should be comforted, but he obviously wasn't.
Oh, dear.
He just looked shattered, Mum.
Poor man.
I reckon that's why he was out on the horse and get away from all the well-meaning people.
It's all got a bit much for him. Can't say I'm surprised.
So I just talked to him about work, you know, about the contracting, about the Texels and, you know, just everyday stuff. He seemed really interested, asking all sorts of questions.
It's his way of coping, I suppose. Mm.
Hello? Anyone home?
Oh, hello, Shula. Come on in.
Oh, the door was open.
Good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Ed. I'm glad I've caught you both. I just wanted to tell you that Oliver's read your letter, which he said was very gracious.
Oh, thank goodness.
And he was absolutely delighted by your offer to hold Caroline's memorial here.
Here?
He said of all the places in Ambridge, Grange Farm's where he would choose. And Ian would love to do the catering, if that's okay with you.
Well, we can't have it here.
Yes, we can.
But it's on Thursday.
So? We've got 2 whole days to get everything sorted, all the furniture back where it was when we first moved in. And the garden, well, flower beds need tidying. And the grass needs cutting. This place is going to be perfect, Edward. We'll all work together.
Thank you.
We owe it to Oliver and Caroline.
Phoebe!
Yeah, all right.
You'll get a move on. You're going to be late.
Well, she's so conscientious about her academic work.
I don't suppose she has to get up this early for lectures.
Yeah, but when it comes to earning a living...
She is still a teenager. Remember what a struggle it was getting out of bed at her age.
Were you seeing Lexi today?
No, not today. I've got the morning off, so I'll have to work late this evening. I've told her we'll meet up tomorrow.
Right.
Why?
Just wondered how she's getting on with the book I lent her.
Yeah, right.
Just because you're not a fan of Stephen King. Oh, here comes Sleeping Beauty.
Morning.
Coffee.
Oh, please.
Do you want cereal or toast?
Just coffee.
You've got to eat something.
It's too early. Feels like the middle of the night.
You'll be starving by 9 o'clock.
Oh, give me a break, Dad.
Late night last night, was it?
I can't remember. Yeah, it was a bit.
There's your coffee.
Oh, cheers. I seriously do not feel like spending another day picking strawberries.
Well, you could always take the day off.
Hey, don't tempt her.
Come and join in our protest.
If you want to go travelling, Phoebe...
Yeah, I know.
You've got to earn the money.
Well, I'd better make a move. If you change your mind, you'll find us in Tilbury Street, where the Happy Friends Cafe used to be. See you later.
Yeah, see you, Kirsty.
What's she protesting about?
Something to do with food waste.
Help yourselves, it's all free.
Everything you see has been made from food discarded by supermarkets.
Now, sorry, ladies and gents, but we're going to have to move away from the building.
What happened to the cafe?
Oh, Happy Friends is having to move, I'm afraid. It'll be reopening, but out on the bypass.
Why?
This was always a temporary location.
The building's going to be done up and reopened as a fancy French restaurant.
Yeah, the kind of place that charges you a tenner for a so-called amuse-bouche.
That turns out to be a piece of toasted cheese. The size of a postage stamp.
Not a patch on these pakoras.
Oh, really good.
Freshly made this morning.
With lovely fresh vegetables.
Have another one.
Discarded because they're past their best before date.
Now then, ladies, you're going to have to move as well, I'm afraid.
We're not in anybody's way.
You will be shortly.
We're not obstructing the pavement.
But you are obstructing access to this building. And as you very well know, the new owners of the property are going to want to get to that platform so they can announce...
You're looking hungry, Harrison.
So they can announce their new restaurant to the press.
Would you like one of these delicious pakoras?
No, thank you. Not while I'm in uniform.
How about a flapjack? I've got a great big tin of them here.
Oh, now, you be careful, Jill. I know your flapjacks of old and I don't want to have to charge you with trying to bribe a police officer.
Well, let us know if you change your mind.
Come on, you two. Over the other side there with your mates, if you don't mind. Watch your step. Thank you, girls.
Morning, Roy.
Well, hello. What brings you here?
I want to book a table in the restaurant.
You could have phoned.
Yeah, I could, but I happened to be passing. On my way back from Lower Loxley. Been taking Lily out for driving practice.
Oh, dear.
Well, not as alarming as it was. She's got a test next week, so she's reasonably competent.
She has a nightmare, innit? Just sitting next to her.
As its moments. Anyway, I remembered, rather late in the day, that it is exactly 30 years this week since Ruth started work at Brookfield.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my life was changed forever.
Love at first sight, was it?
Not remotely. No, I thought she was going to be useless. Little slip of a girl, obviously incapable of heaving bags of manure about. And, actually, she was pretty useless.
Doesn't sound like Ruth.
Well, that was before she went to college or anything, so she made a lot of really basic mistakes. She contaminated a whole day's milk once. She made a complete hash of a tractor proficiency test.
And despite all that, love blossomed.
Yep. Took a while.
Oh, but it stood the test of time.
Yeah, we're still here. 30 years down the line.
So, when do you want this table for?
Right, well, the actual anniversary is Thursday, but that's the day of Caroline's memorial, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, better make it Friday, say 7:30.
OK. Friday... 7:30 it is. Although, you do know that Caroline's memorial isn't happening here at Grey Gables?
Yeah, Shula said. Moved to Grange Farm, which is...
risky.
Yeah, I'd have thought. Last time I went over there, there were pigs in the garden and ferrets underfoot in the house. Not to mention various bits of rusting machinery in the yard. But, according to Shula, Oliver is convinced it's what Caroline would have wanted.
After 2 years in Minneapolis, I moved to New York as sous chef to the legendary Jean-Francois de Beauvoir. At that time, the restaurant was facing huge competition from a rival chef.
Get out of here!
But by the time I left, 18 months
food
later...
Food is a human right, not a plaything for pretentious chefs!
It's no good, Kirsty. She can't hear you. No one can.
Feed the hungry! Don't waste food!
I can hear you all right.
And there's no point in our being here if you can't make ourselves heard.
We need to get closer, don't we?
Shall we make a run for it?
Femme du monde.
Could you, couldn't we? There's only Harrison and that
so
other policeman.
We are confident
if we all push forward at the same time.
Let's give it a go.
All right, everyone. On my signal, we start the chant and we move forward, okay? One, new venture, two, three. Feed the hungry, don't waste food. Feed the hungry, don't waste food.
Now stop it.
Could I point out to those noisy people who are so very keen to disrupt this occasion that my sister Miriam and I...
Feed the hungry, don't waste food.
Now, come on, let the poor woman finish her speech at least.
My sister and I were only too glad to allow the Happy Friends Cafe to occupy these premises while the lease was being negotiated. And this is the thanks we get.
Do you even care that there's a food bank not half a mile from here?
As I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted...
Now listen, will you please stop shoving?
...has established with La Femme de Monde that there is a genuine hunger for top-class cuisine.
What do you know about hunger?
That's enough.
There are people round here who can't afford to feed their families.
Come on now, you've made your point.
But she's not listening. Listen to me, you ignorant woman!
You tell her, Jill.
There are 10 million tons.
I said that's enough.
Don't manhandle me, Harrison.
Well, stop elbowing.
10 million tons of perfectly good food.
All that food
you waste every year in the UK.
Can't you do something, officer?
Oh, for heaven's sake! Oh,
Jill!
Oh, I didn't mean to hit
what
her.
What was that?
My eye!
But at least I've got your attention.
Oh, somebody call an ambulance!
What did you throw?
It was only a flapjack.
And there's plenty more where that came.
No. Now stop it. Give me
Get
that tin.
Off.
I said give me that tin.
Kirsty, you take it.
No. Oh, no, don't do that. I don't want anyone else getting worked up. Others could get hurt.
Oh, don't be so silly.
I'm warning you.
I'm conducting a perfectly legitimate protest.
And so am I.
Seriously, Jill, if you don't stop it...
Feed the hungry. Don't waste food.
Stop it.
Feed the hungry. Don't waste food.
I've had enough. Mrs. Archer, you are under arrest for assault. You do not have to say anything, but it may harm your defence if you do not mention when questioned.
Phoebe, you left your phone at home.
Oh, Dad, you're a star.
Yeah, I know you can't live without it.
I can't believe I forgot it.
You were a bit dozy this morning.
I was going to nip home and get it, but we've just been flat out all morning.
Is Lexi around?
Why?
Just thought I'd say hello.
I don't know where she is. And anyway...
What?
I saw her earlier and... To be honest, Dad, I don't quite know what to do.
Why? What's happened?
I saw her scrubbing away at one of the caravans. I went over to say hi and I realised that there was this really horrible graffiti.
What, on the caravan?
She was trying to get it off, but I could still see what it said, which was... You know, some awful racist stuff.
Oh, no.
I reckon it must have been the same lads who were up here last month.
What, while everyone was at work?
I suppose so. I said to Lexi, you've got to report this to the police.
Absolutely.
Or at least tell Adam. But she refused. So I said I would. But she wouldn't have it. She begged me to keep quiet about it. So I said okay, but I've been feeling really uneasy about it all morning.
You should tell Adam.
Probably.
No, definitely, Phoebes. This kind of thing has got to be nipped in the bud, and I do know what I'm talking about.
I know, Dad.
From bitter experience.
But it's not like when you were young.
Yes, it is. It's exactly like that.
It's just a bit of graffiti. I feel I ought to respect Lexi's wishes.
No, no. Things like this can escalate all too easily. And if you won't tell Adam, then I will.
But if you're letting me off...
With a caution...
Why do you need my fingerprints and photographs?
Because that's...
And my DNA, for heaven's sake.
Because that's what a caution means. You've admitted to committing a criminal offence.
It wasn't really criminal, was it?
Common assault, Jill. But as the sergeant said, we've taken into consideration the fact that you have no history of convictions.
Of course I don't.
Or previous cautions, but this will remain on your file and it can be cited in court should you commit another offence.
I don't think that's very likely.
No, well, neither was this. Now, come on, let's get this over with.
Kirsty, what the hell's going on?
Oh, it's okay. It's all been sorted. Everything's fine, but I thought I'd better call you.
Where's Mum?
She's just having her fingerprints taken.
What?
But then she'll be released.
What? So she's been cautioned?
Yeah, with common assault.
Assault? Mum?
She threw a flapjack.
What?
Oh, look out, here comes the source of the trouble.
Incident completely ruined what was supposed to be a celebration.
No, I understand. Still no damage done, though.
Harrison?
Ah, David.
Half an inch higher and that missile could have had my eye out.
No, I understand. Your mum's just washing her hands now. She'll be out in a minute. Your taxi is waiting, Miss Duxford.
Yes,
if you'd like
yes,
to come
yes,
this way.
Who's that?
Lulu Duxford. Jill hit her in the face with this piece of flapjack.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh, it was an accident, but the stupid woman screamed blue murder and insisted on someone calling an ambulance. Oh, here she comes.
David, what on earth are you doing here?
What am I doing here?
I called him, Jill, to come and fetch you. You look so exhausted.
All I needed was a sit down and a cup of tea.
Mum, how on earth have you managed... What were you doing throwing flapjacks?
I was provoked.
I thought this was a protest against food waste.
It was.
Oh, dear. That's a bit unfortunate, isn't it? It was just the first thing that came to hand.
Oh, you're 86 years old, for heaven's sake.
What's that got to do with anything?
All that time, you managed to live a perfectly blameless life. And now you go and get yourself a criminal record.
Good book.
Oh, Roy. And I was just taking advantage of the lull to catch up on my reading.
Yeah, quiet this morning, isn't it?
Yes, makes a change.
What's the book?
Crime and Punishment. Why do you find that funny?
Subtitle, The Jill Archer Story.
What?
Didn't you hear what happened to Jill yesterday?
What?
Managed to get herself arrested.
Jill got arrested?
They let her off with a caution.
Whatever for? What was she doing?
Well, protesting about, not sure, really. Something about recycling food. It was on the site of that new fancy restaurant, you know, where the cafe used to be.
And Jill was protesting?
Yeah, her and Kirsty, and quite a few others by the sounds of things.
Good heavens above.
Anyway, good, is it?
What?
The book.
Oh, yes. Harrowing, but very powerful.
I'm a Stephen King fan myself. Horror, rather than whodunit.
Roy, this is not a whodunit. It is a classic of Russian literature, and one knows from the very beginning just what... When you say a fancy new restaurant...
What?
This business with Jill yesterday. It wouldn't be Les Sœurs Heureuses, would it?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, no.
The Duxford sisters.
Surely not.
Jill hit one of them in the eye with a piece of flapjack.
What? But they're supposed to be opening the Ambridge Fete.
You're not going to let me forget this, are you?
I don't suppose anyone is.
She gave me no choice, Fallon.
I really can't believe that.
I tried to be reasonable, but she wouldn't listen. She barged her way past me, encouraged the rest of them to start throwing things. Meanwhile, the chef woman was screaming blue murder. What was I supposed to do?
Jill's over 80.
She's still got very sharp elbows. Anyway, I'd take a street protest in Borchester any day over visiting my parents with a begging bowl.
You don't have to go.
It's the only way we'll be able to afford to buy Woodbine.
So we'll find somewhere else. I mean, honestly, Harrison, if it makes you feel this bad asking your parents for a loan...
It's just Marcus being there.
Yeah, I get that.
If Mum had told me he was back living with them before I said I was coming to visit, I would have dropped the whole idea. The fact that I'm having to bail him out yet again, it's... Oh.
It's not really the best time to go asking him for a loan.
My brother, he can't seem to hold a job down for 5 minutes.
I know.
And now he's back living at home, with his girlfriend.
So... You think your mum and dad have spent whatever savings they have sorting him out?
It's not as if they're rolling in it.
But you won't know if they can help unless you ask them.
I've never asked them for anything. Not since I turned 18.
And you don't have to now if you don't want to.
I've told them I'm coming for lunch.
Yeah, that house in Borchester was perfectly okay.
Yeah. Not in the same league as Woodbine Cottage, though.
Well, no.
And all we need is a bit of help for a bigger deposit.
So there's no harm in asking.
No, no, you're right. So, here I go.
Mm. Send them my love.
Yeah, will do. Okay, see you later.
Bye. Good luck. Hi, Linda.
I presume you've heard what happened yesterday.
What?
Harrison arrested Jill. Benny Carballo in the cells last year. Now Jill.
It's not quite the same thing.
No, no, no. It's not a laughing matter, Fallon. It's a disaster for the Fate.
Well, we don't know that.
Well, a high-profile member of the Fate Committee assaults one of the Duxford sisters, so they're hardly going to be in the mood to open our Fate, are they?
Hmm. Well, I've only heard his side of the story. Perhaps I'd better have a word with Jill.
She never wanted us to invite them in the first place.
No, she didn't.
Oh, I'm so sorry to interfere, Fallon, but the Fate is only 10 days away.
I know.
I really think we need to call an emergency committee meeting.
Do sit down, Fallon. I can guess what you've come about, and I'm truly, truly sorry.
Harrison's pretty embarrassed about having to arrest you.
He was only doing his job. Cup of tea?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
And the whole thing was an accident. I wasn't aiming to hit the wretched woman.
Weren't you?
No, of course not. And if I'd stopped to think about it, I'd have realised that throwing flapjacks was a very bad idea, given that we were there campaigning against food waste, as David lost no time in pointing out.
Oh, dear. Yeah, that is a bit unfortunate.
But honestly, the fuss that woman made.
Yes, Harrison said. But it's left us with a problem, Jill.
The Fate? Yes, I realise that. I'm very sorry. The publicity's all gone out, hasn't it? About the Duxford sisters coming to open it.
I just wondered if you were to apologise.
I did, Fallon, repeatedly. But she refused to listen.
Right. Well, Linda has persuaded me to call an emergency meeting of the Fate Committee this evening, 7 o'clock at Ambridge Hall. Will you be able to come?
Well, I'll do my best. But I'm supposed to be helping Shula prepare for Caroline's memorial tomorrow.
Oh, yes, of course.
And there's a lot to be done, given that it's now being held at Grange Farm. And the other thing is, I'm being interviewed by the press this afternoon.
Really?
Yes. That's the good thing to come out of yesterday's fracas. It's generated a lot of publicity for the Happy Friends Cafe and our campaign against food waste. So it's someone from the Echo's coming at 2 o'clock, and then I'm recording an interview for the afternoon show on Radio Borsetshire.
You've come all through, Lexi. Kirsty's not back yet. She's had to put in some extra time at work to make up for yesterday.
Someone told me she was arrested?
No, no, not Kirsty. It was a friend of hers who's quite old. So Kirsty had to go with her to the police station. Oh, look, have a seat. Like a cup of tea?
No, I'm okay.
Oh, so, how are you getting on with Stephen King?
Yeah, it's good. But I must ask you something, Roy.
Yeah, what?
This afternoon, the police came to Home Farm.
Uh-huh.
Adam called them because someone told him about graffiti on one of the caravans. I thought it was Phoebe.
No. No, it was me.
I told her not to tell anyone.
I know you did.
I said, I'll clean up. We will forget it was there. No one needs to know. But now I have been interviewed by the police.
Well, they took a statement.
I'm not happy, Roy. This is what I did not want to happen.
I wasn't expecting you back for ages yet.
I should never have gone.
Oh dear. Was it really that bad?
The thing my mum neglected to tell me on the phone is that not only has Marcus moved back in with Kaylee...
That's the girlfriend?
Yeah, but he's got himself signed off from work because he claims to be suffering from some sort of chronic fatigue.
Oh, that can be horribly debilitating.
Oh, I know it can, but I don't believe for a minute he's actually got it. What he's suffering from is chronic indolence. And, to cap it all, Kaylee's pregnant.
What?
Can you believe it?
Well, that's a bit irresponsible.
To say the least. But Mum and Dad won't hear a word said against him.
So you didn't feel that you could ask him?
I very nearly didn't. But then I thought, well, Marcus has been sponging off them all his life. And I've never asked for a penny.
Mm. And buying a house is a responsible thing to be doing.
Yeah. So I did. I asked them.
And?
They said they'd love to help, but because of Marcus...
Oh, no.
Yeah. And then I felt lousy for even asking.
So it was a wasted journey.
They did say they'd think about it, you know, have a look at the finances.
Well, never mind.
It was always a long shot.
Yeah.
Let's go and have another look at that house in Borchester.
Wasn't that bad, was it?
No. Had potential. I mean, you know, once we've decorated and got all our own stuff in there, we can make it feel like home.
But you can't just dismiss it, Lexi. I mean, look, apart from anything else, whoever did it was trespassing on home farmland.
It was only a bit of graffiti.
Yeah, but it could have been something a lot worse.
They had just young kids.
Not so young. And they'll do what they can get away with.
And the other pickers are all mad at me.
Well, I'm sorry,
Where
but...
I come from, you do not call the police for a silly thing like this.
Well, this is Britain, Lexi. And I know, and the police know, that this kind of racially motivated vandalism has to be nipped in the bud.
To be what?
Nipped in the bud. You know, stopped before it gets out of control.
No. You'll just make things worse. You make a big fuss over a silly incident.
It's not silly!
And the people who do this, they think they've got your attention.
But I don't want to live in a country where people can get away with such hateful things.
And I want a quiet life. Do my job, earn some money, go home. I don't want to get into a big fight with local kids.
Oh, they're not just kids, Lexi.
You don't know who it is.
I could think of a few names.
Have you told the police?
I'm not going to go flinging accusations about.
Oh, I see.
I'm sure the police can work it out for themselves.
You'll keep your hands clean.
No.
Let other people do the dirty work.
I'm trying to do what's right.
What's right for you? You don't care that you make matters worse for the rest of us.
Where are you going?
Tell Kirsty to text me. I'm not waiting any longer.
No, don't go.
You and me, Roy, we have nothing more to say. So it's best I go. And you leave me alone.
Although it has to be said, it's not just restaurants.
Good that you made that point, Jill.
Wait till you hear the end.
£17 billion worth of food a year. £17 billion.
Oh, dear.
Well, at the same time, many families are dependent on food banks.
Yes.
Now, that's just plain ridiculous.
Oh, dear, I sound like a bossy schoolmistress.
No, you sound very reasonable.
In a peaceful and civilised way, when the police intervened... and insisted that we move right across to the other side of the precinct. So nobody could hear. Nobody knew what we were protesting about. And I'm afraid my frustration got the better of me.
You just happened to be clutching a flapjack.
I honestly didn't intend to hit anyone, least of all Lulu Duxford. But I do think it was ironic that a very high-end, expensive restaurant, which cares only about tickling the palates of the wealthy...
Tickling the palates?
...is replacing a worthwhile enterprise like the Happy Friends Cafe, which tackles the food waste problem head-on and feeds some very hungry people into the bargain.
Oh, dear. Was it that bad?
No. No, it was great. I'm sure I wouldn't be that articulate in a radio interview.
But you weren't exactly conciliatory.
I don't suppose for a moment that Lulu Duxford listens to Radio Borsetshire.
But she's bound to hear about it.
And I did apologise to her.
Did you?
Honestly, Linda, several times after the incident and then again at the police station. But she wasn't going to listen.
So that's it then. No Duxford sisters.
And it's too late now to cancel the publicity. It'll be in the Echo tomorrow.
So what are we going to do?
Let's wait for the rest of the committee to get here.
Well, our chances of bagging another celebrity to open proceedings are, well, at this stage, vanishingly small.
It is a bit late in the day, isn't
it? It was such a coup getting the Duxford sisters.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry.
Well, you never wanted them in the first place.
No, I didn't. But I was outvoted, and I accepted that.
Well, it may not have been your intention, Jill, but I'm afraid you've dealt a potentially devastating blow to this year's village fete.
Didn't realise quite what a mess the lawn was in since last time the pigs got out.
Oh, you've done wonders, Clary.
Had to send Eddie down the garden centre to buy a load of new turf.
Who are those people talking to your mum?
Oh, that's Caroline's sister, Molly.
Oh, yeah.
See the resemblance?
She's going to talk about when they were growing up. And the tall man is her brother Tim.
Oh, dear. Hope that's going to work all right out here.
Oh, Kenton knows what he's doing.
Anything I can do?
Took your shirt in for a start.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise. I've just been helping Ian carry in the food and wine and stuff for after.
Come here.
Mum.
Collar's all up at the back. I don't know why you can't take a leaf out of our William's book. He looks so smart in his suit.
I'm really pleased William wants to speak.
Oh, yes. No, he'll be glad to. She took him in. Give him home when we lost the farm, you know. Look at him now. Good job. Lovely family. He wouldn't be where he is today if it weren't for Caroline.
None of us would.
Yeah, you're right there.
Oh, here's Alan. Morning.
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 Oh, yeah. Oh, doesn't the garden look lovely?
Oh, we can't take no credit. It were all planted by Caroline.
I expect that's why Oliver was so keen to have the memorial here.
Is it here?
Not yet, no. Alistair's bringing him. Ah. I just came on ahead to check everything was okay.
And the bouquet of flowers?
Oh, yeah. I'd better find somewhere to put them, hadn't I? They're from Dan. He's so sorry he can't be here, because Caroline was always... She was always there for him from the moment he was born.
Let's go inside, shall we? See if we can find one of Caroline's lovely vases to put them in.
Mm. Oh, dear, I do hope I'm going to get through this without crying.
Don't worry about it. You won't be the only one shedding tears this morning, that's for sure.
There's just so much I want to say about Caroline. Every time I remember something, it just reminds me that she's not here anymore.
There we are. That's your Daniel's flowers done.
Oh, thank you, Clary.
If we put them over here, they won't be in anyone's way.
Good morning.
Oh, Auntie Peggy.
I found her in the yard.
What have you done with Alistair?
He's taken Chris straight round to the garden.
Oh. Can I give you a hand there, Clary?
Oh, Oliver, I am so sorry about last week.
Oh, all forgiven and forgotten. And I'm so grateful to you for letting us have Caroline's memorial here.
It's all looking lovely, Clary.
Isn't it just? You've done an amazing job.
She has.
Thank you for agreeing to speak, Auntie Peggy.
Well, I was just saying to Oliver, I feel I owe it to Jack. Caroline was such a vital part of his life.
Mm. She was a vital part of all our lives.
Yes. Should we go through to the garden, do you think? It's nearly time.
I am here as Caroline's friend, not as a vicar. But even so, I'd like to begin with a few lines from the Bible. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. That which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. All go unto one place. All are of dust, and all turn to dust again. Now, Caroline did not believe in God, but those lines from Ecclesiastes sum up what she did believe. That we are all part of this planet, part of the great green recycling machine that is the natural world. We have our moment in the sun, and then we go back to the earth. And Caroline loved nature. She loved the great outdoors. She was never happier than when out on horseback, galloping across the Hassett Hills. I would just like to read you a poem called My Funeral. It's by Wendy Cope. And I think you'll agree that it sounds remarkably like Caroline. I hope I can trust you, friends, not to use our relationship as an excuse for an unsolicited ego trip. I have seen enough of them at funerals, and they make me cross. At this one, though deceased, I aim to be the boss. If you are asked to talk about me for 5 minutes, please do not go on for 8. There is a strict timetable at the crematorium, And nobody wants to be late.
Remember disco? 1977 was the year Caroline arrived in Ambridge. She had an enormous dog in tow, a Great Dane called Leo. And it really was a case of love me, love my dog. And that didn't go down too well with Sid Perks, who gave her her first job at the Bull. Caroline always threw herself into everything with great gusto, whether it was dancing, drinking, or falling in love. Oh, and I so wanted to be like her. I'm not going to say that she led me astray, but we did get into one or two scrapes. I remember when the swimming pool at Grey Gables was outside and very cold. Caroline bribed Higgs, her boss Jack Woolley's chauffeur, to turn up the pool heating. We had the most glorious swim, but left the hotel without heating or hot water. But the thing that really sealed our friendship was our love of horses.
Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world in a bold world.
I have to admit that early on, I thoroughly disapproved of Caroline. She was the kind of young woman who got away with things that would have been scandalous in my young days. However, my dear Jack recognised that she had the kind of authority that gets things done. As her sister Molly has said, their family is rather well connected. So we had the delightful surprise of Princess Margaret coming to Grey Gables to attend a charity gala dinner. Jack was frankly overawed, but Caroline handled the occasion with enormous grace and charm. Soon after that, she was appointed hotel manager. She was the most faithful friend to Jack and to me, right until the end of his life.
This coming Saturday, Caroline and I should have been in the audience for Tosca as part of the Puccini Festival in Tuscany. It was our shared love of Italian opera which led to us learning the language and falling in love with the country. Caroline became fluent in a matter of months, though she still muddles up her numbers, whereas my Italian is still pretty basic. But she was... Well, she was so good at everything. I remember when I first set eyes on her, I thought, that woman is simply out of my league. Me, over the hill, and her so beautiful, confident, sophisticated. And it was some time before she deigned to give me a second glance, but when she did, she made me the happiest of men. And it wasn't just me. As people have said, she had such empathy, such a... understanding of others. She could disarm the most cantankerous of hotel guests. Carly, one of our foster children who is here today, will tell you that Caroline was the one, not me, who had the patience and persistence to deal with their problems. She was such a perfectionist in everything she did.
Yet, if you should forget me for a while, and afterwards remember, do not grieve. For if the darkness and corruption leave a vestige of the thoughts that once I had, better by far you should forget and smile than that you should remember and be sad.
You mean her sheepdog, Charlie?
Charlie, that's right. Sent the sweet trolley flying in the restaurant.
Oh, yes, so he did.
Trifle everywhere, as I recall. And then we left her in charge of Jack's dog, Captain, while we were on honeymoon.
Oh, yes, and he died. Mm. Oh, poor Caroline. She was mortified. She couldn't think how she was going to break the news to Jack.
You understand why she lost her faith in God?
Well, because of that terrible accident that killed Shula's first husband.
And nearly killed her.
Yeah, it's a mystery to me how she could get back on a horse after such a traumatic experience. But then, horse riding has always struck me as a singularly dangerous pastime.
There speaks a man who rides a motorbike.
Touché.
She got on very well with Nelson Gabriel, didn't she?
Mm. Do you remember when he bought the building next door to the wine bar?
It became the antique shop.
He wanted to open a sauna massage parlour.
What?
That's right. He offered Caroline the job of manageress.
Oh, surely not.
He offered me a job as a masseuse.
No.
She was actually in a village pantomime.
Yeah, ages ago. Could have only been about 7 or 8.
I know she often helped behind the scenes. Well, we both did.
Yeah, it was Aladdin. And she was the beautiful princess. That was always my image of what a princess should be.
Mine too.
And then... well, then I went and stole money from her purse.
What?
Oh, years later, when I was, you know, going off the rails. But it's like Carly was saying about how Caroline never gave up on you. And I thought that's so true. She never gave up on me. Neither did you.
Oliver, I've got something for you.
Huh?
Caroline's beautiful jug.
But it was smashed to bits, wasn't it?
It was only a few bits.
Edward mended it.
You did this, Ed?
Yeah.
But that's amazing. You can hardly even see it was damaged.
Well, it's what you did for me, isn't it? You and Caroline. You mended me. And now you can't hardly see where the damage was.
Hi, Emma.
Oh, hello. Are you sure I can't get you another coffee, Oliver?
You're very kind, Emma, but no, thank you.
OK, then, but you only have to shout.
Thank you.
Sorry I'm so late. Everything all right?
Oh, yeah, it's fine. So,
what?
He's been here over an hour.
All on his own?
Yeah. Sat there with his newspaper in front of him, but he's obviously not reading it. It breaks your heart, Fallon.
Well, this is where he wants to be.
Yeah, I suppose. How'd you get on this morning?
Okay. Yeah, we went to have another look at this house that we saw last week. Got the brochure here.
Oh, yeah, let's have a look.
You really weren't sure about it.
Oh, Fallon. Oh, it's lovely.
It's not bad, is it?
Oh, I'd give me eye teeth for a house like this. 3 bedrooms.
Yeah.
And a bit of a garden.
It's just... I don't know when you've been living in a pretty cottage in the middle of Ambridge.
But you said you can't afford to buy a woodbine.
I know. Harrison had set his heart on it. But we just can't scrape the money together, so we've put an offer in on this.
You've put in an offer?
Yeah. The agent's going to contact the owners and get back to us.
Oh, I am so jealous. I mean, well, we don't know what's going to happen at Grange Farm now.
Maybe Oliver will want it back.
Yeah, or he might decide to sell it. Who knows? I'm going to give Ed a call. He shouldn't be sitting there on his own.
Hiya.
Hi. Are you busy?
Yeah, why?
Do you think you could try and get an hour off?
What for?
It's Oliver. He sat here in the tea room on his own. I think he needs a friend.
Morning.
What the hell do you want?
Lillian around?
No, she's not. And in any case, I'm sure she has absolutely no desire to see you.
Yeah, I dare say you're right. But it's you I want to see.
Me?
Just wanted to be sure she wouldn't be, you know, interrupting our conversation. Or wielding that left hook of hers.
Mm.
You going to invite me in?
No. If you have anything to say to me, you can say it here.
OK. Just wanted to say sorry.
What?
For being an idiot. I mean, you and me, we're never going to see eye to eye. And I should have had the sense to keep my distance, not go poking my nose in where it's not wanted.
Is that it?
What more do you want? I'm telling you, lesson learned. I get the message. Your business is your business and I'll stay out of it.
And why should I believe you?
Because you've won, mate. That's why I got it wrong. I underestimated just how influential you are. It was you, wasn't it, put the kibosh on my investor's day.
What did you expect?
Yeah, I thought so. Well, the consequence is I'm now on borrowed time with Hugo Milling.
Right.
And my equine work is pretty much wrapped up here, so chances are I'll be out of your hair pretty soon.
Back to Costa Rica?
Yeah. Well, I guess. The future's a bit uncertain now, to be honest.
Well, as long as you remain in Ambridge, I would strongly advise you to keep your distance.
Right.
From both me and Lillian.
Whatever you say.
So you didn't read the interview in the Echo?
I haven't even seen the Echo this week.
Oh, well, there's a copy here somewhere. Ah, here it is. And she says they definitely are still on for the fate.
Oh.
Miriam Duxford says that they really regret what happened and we are on the same side as the protesters.
What?
We take the business of food waste very seriously.
Oh, well, I don't believe that.
Ah, look, here it is. We are committed to serving this community and are greatly looking forward to opening the Ambridge Fate on the 6th of August.
So you've been worrying about nothing?
Yeah, looks like it. Although, from what Kirsty said about what happened on Tuesday, Miss Miriam's going to have to put a gag on her sister. Excuse me.
Oh, well, at least someone's going to open the fate.
Oh, my.
What? What's happened?
Text from Harrison. They've accepted our offer. I'm going to be a homeowner.
Oh, congratulations.
How grown up is that?
What's all the excitement?
Oh, Ed, thanks for coming.
Our offer's been accepted. On the Borchester house.
Oh, good for you.
It's the best part of 2 hours he's been here.
Oh, OK, I'll go and have a word.
Yeah. Hello, Oliver.
Oh, Ed. Not working today?
No, I'm on my lunch break. What are you doing here?
Oh, you know, just passing the time.
You fancy coming for a walk?
Well, yes. That would be nice. Thank you.
So, how was your morning?
Fine. Although I did have a visit from your Mr. Crawford.
Oh?
That was a bit of a surprise.
What did he want?
To apologise.
Really?
Yes, I didn't see that coming, I have to say.
Oh, not like him at all.
But it would appear that the message has finally got through.
What message?
That you mess with me at your peril.
So, what did he say?
Sorry.
He actually apologised?
Well, I wouldn't exactly call it an apology. He's sorry he messed with me because I made damn sure it rebounded on him. And from what he says, his days with Melling Equestrian Investments are numbered.
You mean he's been fired?
Well, if he hasn't, he soon will be. I'll have a word with Hugo Melling just to make sure.
Oh, you don't need to do that, Justin.
No skin off my nose.
No, but it just seems unnecessarily vindictive.
Vindictive?
Well, don't you think you've done enough? I mean, you made sure his investor's day last week was a damp squib, and if he's admitted he was wrong to provoke you and said he's sorry...
How charitable you suddenly seem to be.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, darling. I just feel... You're letting him get under your skin, and there's really no need. You said before he's just a minor irritant, a fly that you can brush aside.
Or I can swat him.
Oh, you don't need to go to such lengths. Really, you don't. Let's just forget him, darling, and move on.
I don't know what to do, Ed.
Yeah, I get that.
Ever since she died, I've been so busy. There's so much paperwork, so many forms to fill in, and then the cremation and the flight back and the memorial. And now suddenly, there's nothing. And I don't even know where I live anymore.
Do you want to come back to Grange?
No. I couldn't live there without Caroline. I can't bear the thought of going back to Italy on my own.
Well, you don't have to decide now.
My daughter, Eleanor, she wants me to go and live with them in New York, but I don't think I could get used to city life. Not now.
Especially not New York.
And then there's all her things, you know, her clothes, her jewellery, the books.
pictures and bits of china and all the things she treasured. All the little pots of stuff on her dressing table. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
She went so suddenly, Ed. She didn't have time to tell me. I don't know what she would want. If there were special things she'd like particular people to have. How am I supposed to know?
I'm so sorry.
We thought there'd be plenty of time for, you know, telling each other things like that.
Yeah, I know.
So I have to decide. Everything.
But you don't have to do it now.
And I don't know where she'd want to be.
How do you mean?
Her ashes. I brought them back from Italy thinking Ambridge was the place, but I just don't know where. Grange Farm, up on the Hassett Hills where she used to ride. And
what about the green burial site?
What?
You know, down by the Millennium Wood. Be a place she'd always be.
Oh, I don't know, Ed. I don't know anything anymore.
That's okay. You don't have to decide today. Or this week, or even this year. You can take as much time as you need.
When did you get so wise?
For me, wise? Yeah, whatever sense I've got it all from you, Oliver. Look, I know things must look bleak and hopeless at the moment, but I suppose what I'm really trying to say is that you were here for me. And now, you know, if there's anything you need, you know, someone to talk to, a bit of a distraction, anything at all, I'm here. Give me a call any time.
Thank you, Ed. That's very good to know.
Well, second visit this week. Things are looking up.
You went to see Justin this morning?
Yeah.
What did you tell him?
It's all right, Puscat. I didn't drop you in it. Didn't tell him about our secret rendezvous on Monday.
But have you lost your job?
Is that what he told you?
Oh, come on, Matt, don't bandy words with me.
Well, to be perfectly honest,
well, that'll make a change.
I did think it was curtains for me after last week's debacle, but I haven't heard a dicky bird from Hugo Milling all week. And I've heard a whisper that the take-up from that meeting was pretty favourable, despite the sparse attendance. So I'm guessing the danger has passed.
Well, not from Justin, it hasn't.
I've done what you told me, Lillian. Went and said sorry. And if your fella's not man enough to accept my heartfelt apology...
But if you provoke him one more time, he will finish you once and for all.
Yeah, that's what you said Monday. But I'm still here. And you know what's been nagging away at my brain all week, Lillian?
What?
Why did you warn me? Why did you tell me what he was planning?
I just felt that he was overreacting.
Overreacting? After what I did to you? Not like you owe me, is it?
No.
So, me losing my job would be pretty fair justice, I'd say.
Yes, it would.
So why are you doing this? Why are you sneaking off behind Loverboy's back to warn me what he's up to? Hmm?
Justin does have a tendency to take things to extremes, and I simply
mean
that
you
should...
Oh, come on, Lillian, why can't you admit it? You still have feelings for me, don't you?
I don't know what you mean by feelings, Matt, but... Yeah, all right. There's a part of me that still cares about you.
Really? You mean that?
Now, don't you start getting ideas.
Despite everything I've done to you, you still...
Let me make it clear. There is absolutely no future for you and me. That part of our lives is over and done with. But I simply can't stand by and watch you being mercilessly crushed underfoot. I honestly wish I could, but I can't.
We'll be right back.
This is the BBC.
You can listen to audio highlights and actor interviews at bbc.co.uk/archers.